All right, good morning to you. Nice to see you here today. You seem a little bit subdued. You know, it always is the Sunday before the football Super Bowl, right? Because they take this week off. Is that why you're depressed? Maybe, I'm not sure. Hey, before I get into my message, where is he? I saw him sitting back there. Where's Chuck? There he is. Chuck, it's good to see you, brother, okay? Last week, I had about 10 people say to me, is Chuck Welker in the hospital? I saw his name on something up there. I'm like, no, I don't think so. And then today, about 15 people have said that they read the obituary for Chuck Welker this morning. Chuck, it's good to see you. We need to pray for that family, certainly. I mean, it is somebody else, but everybody was wondering if that was you, Chuck. So I'm glad to see you and your beautiful, wonderful wife here with us today. So... I'm glad you're here. Thank you for coming today. We're going to continue our study that we started last week about how Jesus used bread, how he blessed it, he broke it, and he gave it. Now, last week we talked about bread, and I even, we gave out some croissants for people to enjoy here in service. But, I don't want you to remember from last week that we talked about bread. But I want you to remember what Jesus did with the bread. How Jesus used bread as a metaphor for your life and as an illustration of my life. That God can take us, that Christ can take us when we're given to Him, and He can take us even though we're ordinary, even though we're nothing special. God can take us, He can bless us, He can break us. And he can give us, he can use us just like he did with the bread. It's a beautiful metaphor because something that ordinary in the hands of Jesus can become not only extraordinary, but can come miraculous. It can become a miracle in the hands of Jesus Christ. And that's what he wants us to be. So here's what I want to do today. I want to take that first word, blessed, and I'd like to talk to you about that, what it looks like. Now imagine with me, if you will, I read this week, illustration, and I thought it was so good. Imagine that an alien, okay, if you can't imagine an alien, just look at the person next to you. Go ahead. Okay, now think about an alien. If an alien came to Earth, and if he looked at social media, and he looked at your Facebook or your Instagram or your YouTube channel or your WhatsApp app or your whatever, LinkedIn, if he looked at your presence on social media, how would he define blessed? In other words, we put on Facebook, hey, got a new car, #blessed. Or, my Facebook is full of my grandkids, blessed. Hey, I got a promotion at work this week, #blessed. If an alien were to come to Earth and look at all of our social media accounts, how would they define the word blessed? Now, he might conclude that, having a wonderful latte in the morning, it costs $7, that we're blessed. Or, when we get that perfect kitchen remodel, that we're blessed. Or maybe if we have that sunny vacation in the middle of winter, we're blessed. Do you notice how many people from First Church was on a cruise last week? I got sick of looking at those pictures. All the sunshine and everything. How would they determine what blessed really means? Here's the thing, folks. Almost every way that we illustrate that we are blessed has nothing to do with how we observe the use of that word in the Bible. We probably really don't understand exactly what it has to do with life. It almost nearly has nothing to do with what the Bible means when it uses the word blessed. I mean, many of the things that we, you and me, that we associate with a blessed life, health and provision and beauty and more, are, of course, gifts from God, but they're like hints or shadows of what the real blessedness is that we have. So here's what I want to attempt to do today. I want to attempt to reframe your definition of blessed by looking at the Word of God and what it has to say about this. And what I want us to do is I want us to go all the way back to the book of Genesis. And in Genesis, we read this in the middle of the Genesis story when it says, "And God saw that it was good, and God blessed them." Think about that. God saw that it was good, and He blessed it. It doesn't say that God saw that it was good, that their life was good, that their existence was good, therefore they were blessed. He said God saw them, and then He blessed them. But it doesn't really give us anything more about exactly what that looked like. I think we have to go back and we have to read the Genesis account of creation and when He said this and the context that we find there. Let me read you some selected verses from Genesis chapter 1, starting in verse 1. It says, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, 'Let there be light.' And there was light. And God saw that the light was good." Verse 4. Skip down to verse 10. "God called the dry land earth, and the waters that were gathered together He called seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, 'Let the earth sprout with vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees bearing fruit, in which is their seed, each according to its kind on the earth.' And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seeds according to their own kind, and trees bearing fruit, in which is their seed, and each according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night and the stars. And God set them in the expanse of the heavens to give light to the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good." Verse 21, "So God created the sea creatures and every living creature that moves, with which the waters swarm according to their kind, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good." And then in verse 22, He added this, "And God blessed them, saying, 'Be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters in the sea, and let birds multiply on the earth.' And God made the beasts of the earth according to their kind, and the livestock according to their kind, and everything that creeps on the ground according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And then God said, 'Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth.' So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. And God blessed them." Verse 28. "And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them." You see, folks, the origin of your blessing comes from the creation story. Not from the things that happened to you in life. Not the things that you achieved. It's not that God made you and you were blessed because of that. He says that God made us and He blessed us. He blessed our existence. He blessed our life. God established blessing from the origins and the foundation of the world. Isn't it amazing when your mom or your dad is proud of you? You know, the Bible is full of God saying to us that He loves us regardless of what we do. We can't love Him. We can't do anything that make you would love Him, love us less. That God loved us and created us in His image. He sees us as a friend, As Paul says, he sees us as a co-worker. He commissions us. He puts us into the world to be his light, his hands, and his feet. And it's a beautiful thing. Do you understand that you have the blessing of your Heavenly Father? You know, I remember when I was a kid, you know, and my mother would, you know, brag on me. And, you know, you remember those times too. Your mom would brag on you. Just the other day, I was at the hospital here in town, and I ran into a sweet lady here from the church, Mary Jo. Mary Jo, you here? She back there? No, she'll be here next service again. Anyway, Mary Jo Reese was walking in. I said, "Hey, Mary Jo, what are you doing here?" And she said, "Well, my dad's here." And I said, "Really? He lives up in Clearfield County, but he'd been quite sick, and they put him in the hospital down here." I told her, I said, "I got several people to see, and I'll stop by." So I did. And when I went in, there was this delightful older man. He was in his mid to upper 80s, and his name was Raymond. He said about his daughter, because she was standing there, he said, "You know, she's pretty special, isn't she?" I said, "She sure is." I said, we love Mary Jo, and I appreciate her so very much. I said, "You know what?" I said, "I can see that she has a lot of your personality," and I think that was like the greatest thing that anybody could say to him. And I remember when I left that place, it's like, you know what? There's nothing like a proud father who feels blessed by the existence of his children. And you know, that pales in comparison to what God wants us to feel. I mean, have you ever thought about that the creation story, it begins with a person. It begins with God. That in the beginning, God. That he was there in the beginning. Nothing created God. He created all things. All things have their origin in him. Everything that we see came from his spoken word. You know, in ancient times, people would ask questions, you know, did God make this? Or more explicitly, which God made this? But we know that our God made everything. And then he blessed it. And he blessed us. You know, when you think about this idea of God, the Creator God, and how we are blessed because of that, there's three things about the understanding of God in the Genesis story that I think is pretty amazing. Number one is that he's the only God. You know, the Egyptians, the other people that surrounded God's people at this particular time, they were pluralistic in their issues of God. They had many gods. Gods of the sky, gods of the sea, gods of the land, gods of the trees. They had all kinds of different gods, but this God, he said he wanted to be known as Yahweh, the Hebrew rendering of God. Yahweh. And he says that he is the one true God. Deuteronomy 6 verse 4, "O hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." That was so different from the other people. And you know what? That's so different than the way that the other people in our day and time look at God. But he was the one true God. I think about the story of the prophets at Mount Carmel. And how Elijah said, as the other prophets of Baal tried to call their God down to consume the altar, Elijah kind of made fun of the way they were doing. He says, maybe your God's asleep. You know, talk a little bit louder. But nothing happened. But then when he stood up and called on the name of Yahweh, the altar exploded into fire and was consumed. Think about this. Not only is the sovereign God the one God, notice how Genesis also tells us that he created on purpose with purpose. He created on purpose with purpose. Now that might seem obvious to me and to you, but it wasn't for the ancient readers from years ago. They believed in different gods created different parts of, of the things that they saw. But not with God's people. Not with me and you. The opening chapter of Genesis has a song-like cadence to it. It's the story of creation, creating on purpose, with a purpose, a song about why we're here and about why it all matters. And just what does God say about why we're here? It tells us that we're here because God called us into being, that He wanted to create us in His image and in His likeness. And then thirdly, it's so obvious that He says over and over again that He blesses that which He creates. Did you ever notice when He created everything, He said, oh, it was good. It was very good. And when He created all the animals and the things to fill the earth and to fill the seas, it says it is good, and He blessed them. And then when He made Adam and Eve in His likeness, He blessed them. He breathed life into them. Notice He didn't do that with any other part of the creation except with Adam and with Eve. He breathed in them the breath of life. Our very breath comes from the existence of our one true sovereign God. And imagine God's people living in exile in Babylon, in Egypt, and not feeling very blessed. But they would try. They would try to reach out to God. And it says about the captivity in Egypt that God heard their cry. I think it almost signifies that He remembered His blessing. And He set them free. You see, folks, here's the thing. Good and beautiful. That's how God described His creation. He created on purpose with purpose. It was good and beautiful. Is that how you see yourself? I mean, is that how you see yourself? Good and beautiful? Blessed? Apart from everything you have, apart from everything that you've achieved, apart from your beautiful children and your gorgeous grandchildren, do you feel blessed? Do you know how God wants you to see yourself? You know, we're too aware of our shortcomings. You're talking about bread in His hands, blessed, broken, and given. You know, it's too easy for us to see our shortcomings, to see our plainness. It's really easy for us to think, you know, I'm not really good. But God wants us to see ourselves as good. The Genesis story grounds us in God, that God Himself made us on purpose, with a purpose. That's our story. That's the origin story of each of us. But here's the thing too, and think about this. Being blessed by God, it's not a state, it's a story. You see, we've become convinced that our blessedness is connected with some state, that we are in the state of blessedness. But really our blessedness doesn't come from that. It comes from our story that we have in Him. It's here in this origin story. It's in the story of how we began and why we began. It's the story of God the Creator calling us into being on purpose, with purpose. It's our God taking delight in us and blessing us, not because we are, but because we're His. You know, I'll never forget five and a half years ago now when Jack was born, our grandson. You know, he lived in Tennessee then, 573 miles from here to their door. I drove it many times. And so Sarah calls right when church was ending one Sunday morning. She said, Dad, I'm going to the hospital. My water broke. I said, Arlene, get in the car. We jumped in the car and we drove those 570 miles in record time. Only got 6 speeding tickets on my way to Tennessee. No, I didn't get any. You know, I just think God just cleared the way for me, you know. We got down there and I rushed in. I'm like, all right, where's the baby? I'm here. Where is it? And then she was in labor the rest of that day. all night, all the next morning, all the next afternoon. Jack finally made his entrance sometime Monday late afternoon or early evening. I can't remember exactly when. And I'm like, it's about time. You know, I could have walked halfway here by then. But I was so anxious. I wish you could be there. My grandson was born in the Dolly Parton Birthing Center in Sevierville, Tennessee, the home of Dolly Parton. I sat in a waiting room with a life-size replica of Dolly Parton looking over me. And it wasn't nearly as miserable as you might think. And I just started talking to her, you know, because I couldn't be back there. It's like, Dolly, you know, go back there and see if you can hurry this up a little bit. But anyway, when he was finally here, I remember distinctly when they held him up. And there he was, man. I just thought about everything that I wanted to do for him, everything I wanted to give him. I remember holding him when he was one day old and saying to him, let me be the first one to talk to you about Jesus. So Jesus loves you so much. And then I realized he wasn't going to be blessed because of what I could do for him or what his parents could give him. But his blessingness was caught up in the story of God. Because he was made in God's image and given to us. We are blessed. Now, folks, listen, maybe that's not where you are today. Maybe that's not what others have told you about yourself. But I'm telling you, that's what God wants to tell you. I mean, God tells us some stories that kind of tell us about his blessedness. Let me give you a couple of them here. And this is really interesting, I think. Because in the Genesis story, after he created, in Genesis chapter 12, we read about Abraham. And how God called him from the land of Ur, told him to go, or he didn't know where he was going, didn't know how long it was going to take. But God said, I'm going to give you a great land, a great existence. I'm going to make your descendants as numerous as the stars of the sky and the sand on the seashore. And Abraham had faith, and that faith was reckoned unto him, and he obeyed God, and he was blessed because of that. But have you ever thought about that in that blessing, Abraham and his wife, Sarah, they got to a point where it's like, well, God's not coming through. You've done that, haven't you? You felt like God is going to do something for you, give you something, get you somewhere. You're thinking, man, God's not coming through. So Sarah had this bright idea, let's help God along. So she said, hey, take our Egyptian female slave. Her name was Hagar. Sarah said, go in, lie with her, and your offspring can come from her. Wasn't God's plan. But Abraham did it. A child was conceived, and we, of course, know what happened. But during that pregnancy, Sarah became so jealous. They were so mean to Hagar that Hagar ended up leaving and going out into the desert, into the wilderness, with no provisions, thinking that she would just die. Now, here's a really cool thing about this, and a lot of people don't realize this. God told Abraham, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to give you my blessing. You're going to have descendants as numerous as the stars and the sand on the seashore. But then he had this son by Hagar. Hagar goes out into the wilderness figuring she's going to die, and guess who appears to her? God. God not only speaks to Abraham, he speaks to Hagar as well. Listen to what it says in Genesis 16, verse 7. It says, the angel of the Lord found her by a spring of water in the wilderness, the spring on the way to Shur. And he said, Hagar, servant of Sarai, where have you come from and where are you going? You know, it's amazing to me when God asks those kinds of questions because they're not rhetorical. I mean, think about it. Does God know where she's come from? Of course. Does God know where she's going? Better than she does. Does God know your past? Yes, better than you do. Does God know where you're headed? Yes, he does. Sometimes we get off track like Abraham and Sarah, like Hagar did. Hagar's out in the wilderness. She thinks she's going to die. And God comes to her by this angel, and the angel asks her two questions. Where have you come from and where are you going? Think about it. When God asks a question, he's not launching an interrogation. He's staging an intervention. And these two questions were about origin and about destiny. And Hagar thought that she knew her origin, she knew her destiny, where she had come from and where she was going. But God is going to say to her, I want to rewrite your story. God told Hagar to what? Remember what he told her to do? He told her, go back to Abraham's house. Not because he condoned Sarah's mistreatment of her, but because there was no other way for Hagar to be saved. She would otherwise die in the wilderness. Verse 10, Genesis 16, the angel of the Lord also said to her, I will surely multiply your offspring so that they cannot be numbered for multitudes. Whoa. The very promise that God gave to Abraham, he gave to Hagar. Now, there's all kinds of history about that that you can read about, but this was Abraham's blessing. This was the promise that was restated when God made a covenant with Abraham in the chapter before Hagar's story, that his offspring would be like the stars, too many to count. And right from the start, God made it clear he wants everyone to be able to get in on this blessing. He desires all to be swept up in this blessing from him, of his redeeming love. And when Hagar understood this, she was in awe. You ever notice how she responded? Genesis 16, verse 13, look what it says. So she named the Lord who spoke to her, you are El Roy. Translated means God sees me. Hagar then said, in this place have I actually seen the one who sees me. So here's the point, folks, and I'm done. You may be here today and think that you have missed the blessing of God. And I want to say to you that you have not. You know, sometimes I look back on my own history and I think about how tough it was for my mother to raise 7 children by herself. You know, the things that we didn't have, the things that we couldn't do, all the hardships. And I think now that it wasn't the things that I wanted that made my life blessed. It was because I understood the creation story and that I am created in His image. I am created with purpose, for a purpose. And to be blessed is return to that origin, to that destiny. It's not simply to be restored. And think about that. He wants to restore us, but he wants us even more to be, I played with this, to be restoried. He wants to give you a different story. The God who called light out of darkness, the God who called Abraham out of his father's house, the God who called Hagar out of the wilderness is calling you. And God has come to give you His blessing. You can leave today with the blessing of God. All you have to do is that when we pray and when we sing, if you would just simply relinquish control of your life to Him, say, God, I claim your blessing. Give me a new meaning of what it means to be blessed. I am blessed because I am a part of your redemptive story, that you have restored my life. And that I see now that I'm made on purpose with a purpose. And that you are the God of heaven, the one true God, the sovereign God, the God that is always there. So whether you're like Abraham and you're where you think you should be, or whether you're like Hagar and you're out in the wilderness, not knowing where you've come from or where you're going, God wants to show you the way. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, I do thank you for this wonderful morning. God, for this wonderful opportunity to just think about that we're like bread in the hands of Jesus, that we're blessed. And God, I pray that that blessing would be so apparent on us, that, Father, we wouldn't understand a blessing of any material possession or anything, Lord, that can be given or obtained or achieved, but that our blessing is simply because of our Creator God and of His wonderful and beautiful Son that came and lived and died and rose again. Father, may that be our blessing that we carry all of our lives, Lord, that we are made with a purpose, on purpose, for a purpose. And it all comes, Lord, from knowing You, that You are the beginning and the end of our story. And Father, I pray it would be so for every person in this room this morning, and anybody here that doesn't feel like that they're in that place, Lord, I pray that through Your Spirit You might speak to them and help them to get there, that all it takes, Lord, is a moment of realization, of understanding, of repentance, of confession, and asking You, Lord, to come in and make our story complete. Father, may it be so as we sing in Jesus' holy name. Amen.